Blog Talk Radio.
This is Conglomerate Radio.
Can you get me some salt and vinegar chips? And some now and laters? Oh, I really want a tropical fantasy. Some butter crunch cookies and drink cakes.
Of course, why would it work? Why would it work? We get nothing for this.
You're an idiot.
It's the greatest show in the world, you fucking asshole.
All they do is sit out there and talk about garbage. They just talk, talk, talk.
And don't forget my skills. It's because you are going to the La Vega.
The verbal barbershop is in order.
Oh, good for you!
Welcome, everybody. You are now listening to The Bodega. Yes, today's a special day. Only important, really, to me.
Ain't that the truth?
Yes. Tonight, you will be bombarded with ridiculous sounds by the group formerly known as Skills Row, the Crow PAB, a.k.a. the Poas Boricua. Also, the nutty professor himself, Johnny One Ball, One Night. And Big Griff, the Grifter, DJ Sid. We're back, bitches. It's been over 10 years, and no one gives a crap.
That is
awesome. Welcome.
That is a dead on great assumption.
Oh, man. All right, everybody.
Oh, I gotta pee.
All right, so as you guys can hear, welcome to the show tonight. This is a show that I personally wanted to do for a minute for the hell of it, just because. As you heard in the background, joining us once again, official now, is Senor Nut, who is in the middle of a lightning storm in the middle of Florida. So if we get cut off, it's all Jonathan's fault.
True that.
And also on the line is my one and only partner, the man, the myth, the legend, DJ Sid.
Yes, sir.
All right. I got Deuce on lock today. Deuce does not control the board today.
That's good.
Is he dropping a deuce?
Probably is, man. He's too low, so yeah, why not?
Is it possible to produce a show while you're dropping a deuce?
If you want to drop a deuce while you're doing the show, be my guest. Only you could get away with that, my friend.
Is there like a producer iPhone app that you can actually play?
I'm not sure, but it's probably out there. Oh, but before we start using the other terms for deuce, let's get this out of the way.
The following program may contain adult language and theme. Listener discretion is advised.
All right, we got that out the way. Oh, yes. All right, so today if we talk about anything regular, anything that's happening now, it'll be spur of the moment. Straight up, we're just going to go out there and self-promote. The last bit of self-promotion for ourselves. For those that don't know, this whole show started as, aside from the Weirdo on the Rican bullshit, me and Sid used to rep this crew called Skills Row, repping the 90s, trying to do our little hip-hop bang-bang, and Nut, a.k.a. Jonathan, who may or may not be dropping the deuce.
That's Deuce dropping the deuce.
Okay, Deuce is dropping the deuce. All right, well,
Okay.
Deuce is full of deuce.
I'm Deuce 3.
Deuce is full of deuce. But, so we did a little hip-hop thing. For the last 6-7 months since we've been doing this, and it's been a minute now. Straight up on the reel, we've been playing tracks like here or there. Well, tonight we're going to get in. Tonight we're going in.
All in, bitch.
Well, tonight we're going in, because straight up, man, I was listening to a lot of the audio and trying to find stuff and dig up old tapes. Like straight up tapes that haven't seen the light of day, and now I'm bypassing CDs and going putting them right into MP3 format. And damn it, we deserved a lot more, god damn it.
Pass the Kleenex.
Man, I'm telling you, so you know what? The best way to explain it is it started out, damn, you guys want to feel old? It started in 93.
Damn.
It started in 1993, and I would the official jump off was out in Queens by two guys who didn't live in Queens.
Imagine that.
I mean, straight up on the real, right now I'm fidgeting around because I got people moving. I got Deuce trying to work wires around me since he has nothing else to do today.
So.
But
apart from the course.
But whatchamacallit. Oh man, see, I was getting lost in train of thought because I'm getting crap moved around. Straight up, if you guys remember, well, I know Jonathan remembers. Sid don't probably know about this because this is pre-Sid. Like originally, the crew had another name which I don't even remember. And the first tape. No, it wasn't. No. You okay? There was a thing back in school, back in Cardoza, Queens, where we did a tape. Me, the weirdo, ironically, and a bunch of other people did a tape of spoof songs, like taking popular music and then just flipping them. You know what I mean? But in the process of flipping them, we pretty much ragged on everybody we didn't like in the school. And we passed the tape around school.
I remember that.
Yeah, you do remember that. And on that whole tape, I think there was one song that was, for the most part, an original song, not the beat, but the song was original. Like we weren't trying to do a cover. We weren't trying to flip an existing song. And we weren't parodying. That's the word. And from that, Jonathan came through because Jonathan, out of all three of us, is the youngest by 1 year.
Yes.
Yeah. 31
so,
tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I suck.
Don't worry about it.
Oh my God, Jonathan's gonna be.
This is a birthday present to me. Are you kidding?
Oh wow, we gotta give it to you, man.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, we gotta hit. Oh, we gotta.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
Oh no, that's terrible.
So then, Jonathan might have to help me on this, but there was a transition period, man, where we decided to go legit with it, to really try to make it legit. And
as legit could be for some skilled road lifers.
I don't know where
high school.
For real, because I don't remember the transition. I remember, I will give all credit, like, do we remember who made up the name of the group?
Hell no.
Yeah.
Maybe me, maybe you. Maybe
it was you.
Duncan Binge.
It was you.
Word.
You came up with it. This is bringing you back.
Logo. I remember that.
Sid, yeah, Sid. Sid's the logo man.
Oh, that was Sid?
Sid was the logo man.
I didn't mean to steal your props.
No, the way it rolled was I designed the first tape. Like the first tape we did was from way back, man. We did the first tape, and it was pretty much me and Jonathan all over the whole tape.
Right.
But Sid gets referenced throughout the tape. Like Sid is mentioned throughout the tape. But I don't even remember how we just said, hell with it. We were going to start, we were still spoofing songs, but we were trying to go legit with it. And then we were in Times Square enjoying the original Times Square sights.
And hoes know how I feel.
And we were in a pizzeria that was completely out of the way, and Jonathan was, like, fiddling with a name. And somehow you came up with Skills. No, I remember you came up with Skills.
No, I know why we came up with Skills, because I had an infatuation with
Death Row.
Yes.
And they were the hottest thing out, so.
Yeah, who would have thought almost 15 years later, now Suge Knight's getting knocked out by dudes. Go figure that one out.
No comment.
You know, it's like, hey, Suge!
Chris Brown is in the house. Good job.
Chris Brown. So, good breathing.
I didn't even say it, man.
Wait, I
want to go back to that Times Square night. Can I go back to the Times Square night for a sec?
Go ahead.
Was that the night with the horse?
Which one?
I'm not going to mention what we were doing that night.
I'm surprised we don't, like, go to Aqueduct and just, we hash the memories.
Oh, man.
Where there was, like, all of us just, like, walking into a certain place that was not Disney-esque.
Oh, man, we were really enjoying
the
sight.
That's the best quarter I've ever had.
And I just remember hearing the channel number from,
one of the members. Oh, my God, you just bringing me back. I remember what we were watching.
And the best part is we walk out of there. I think we kind of felt dead, like absolutely dirtier than we were to begin with.
I'm going to say it. I remember some of the actual covers to some of those videos where I was like, people actually would do that to other people? And I'm trying not to.
I know the video you're talking about.
I mean, I don't know if you can curse because of where you're at right now, but just remember, you can curse, my friend.
I can curse, but it just feels wrong to curse about that because that is just gross, you know? Like, two wheels, one cup, gross.
Yeah, I think you just, like, I remember you grabbing one of the videos and just saying, I don't believe people actually do this. And we turned around and looked, and we just saw the face, it was the person's face, smiling, covered.
Oh, that was brutal.
Yeah, and we just walked out after that.
Oh, man, so... Yeah, all I remember is at the end of the night, we wound up in a pizzeria, and I really don't know how we, I know at that point, I was doing a lot of the songs, because I just got caught up, was having fun doing it, and I don't remember Jonathan's motivation, but Jonathan just jumped on board, man. He was just like, hell with it, I'll do it.
What the fuck else am I going to do? I'm all laced out on Prozac, I got to do something with my time.
That was the truth. For those that don't know, man, like if I ever decide to put up those albums, the early album, like especially the first one, it's all goofing around, man. It's all straight up talking about getting drunk.
Remember what we used to have Eric do?
Oh, we had your little brother, who I think was 5 at the time, doing.
Yeah.
Yo, you had him saying some hellacious shit.
No. Child services should have came and got my ass.
Some big brother you were. Oh, man. But we were bugging out. We were having, and you know what? Just for the hell of it, because I spent the time to set it up, I'm going to, let's take everybody back. One of the first things we did was, there was a popular song that had a beatbox at the time, and a lot of the songs, especially then, were born out of, like, boredom and goofing around, like, the ideas. And you remember, fuck it, and... The mics will be hot, okay? So anybody wants to jump in, please. All right,
cool.
But let's see if you remember this. Hold on. We're gonna restart it. Yeah, it is low. It is very low.
And oh my God.
Hold on. I'm gonna make this out. Now the mics will be hot, but we probably won't hear you. So anybody who's listening out there, who hope we don't blow out your computer speakers.
I actually remember.
Ask for me at Stearns, and they'll know my name personally. Yeah.
It's
not over. It's fun going. Big up. Is it over? Is it over? It's been over. What time? Pop will say something. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, that's enough for me. How you doing? All right. Sorry. I'm going to go now. Do what I big up, boy.
All right, that was a skit. That wasn't even a song. That was just a skit. And that was an outtake, no less, too, because I think we did that like two or three times because you were in a zone.
I actually remember the story behind that. Maybe. I'll get this right. Maybe. Because I want to make sure I got this right. I think Mad Lion was just like dropping bombs at the time here in New York.
Yeah.
Like, and Freaks, Little Vicious came out.
Yeah.
And I just remember I think it was just one long freestyle of you doing Freaks. I think that's like the first take. Like you doing Freaks with the Mad Lion voice.
Yeah, just whatchamacallit. Jonathan was freaking it. Like, eventually that character became Rasta Nut. But that's
another story altogether.
I remember I started doing the beat. It's one of those things. I started doing the beat, and he just ran with it. He just.
Right.
Jonathan was insane. Jonathan, these are all cuts when he was on drugs. Let's just air that out right now, okay?
Listen, nothing chemical related except for all the shit that was prescribed to me by doctors.
Right, and that was from
Manny Ramirez of wannabe rappers.
That was from 94. I mean, that was a skip from 94. I mean, check this shit out. Let's go back. Jonathan, this one's gonna blow his mind.
Beans, 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 beans and rice, rice, beans and rice, beans and rice, rice.
These are skits. These are all the skits.
Beans and rice, beans and rice, 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 beans and rice, rice, rice. I want my beans, beans. I want my rice, rice. I want my beans and rice, baby, 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 beans, 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 beans and rice, beans, rice, beans and rice, 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 beans and rice.
We were right.
Yes, we were.
At what point did we start rapping?
Well, I had to point out that, I mean, I had to point out, though, that a lot of the only reason we even became a rap group was we were just having so much fun goofing on stuff. And because we were all so deep into hip hop, hell, we still are to an extent now. But it just kind of transitioned, man. And I couldn't even explain it to people that, like, it wasn't planned. It just happened. And we just kept running with it. And I would dare say by the time everything was over, which was 98, the official ending was 98, I would say we actually all got better. We all progressed. But it all started out of boredom and goofing around. It was shit like that. It was shit like that. We'd be riding the train. You start singing Beans and Rice. Next thing you know, well, we got to record that. And, like, let's see. Let everybody else hear it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to play... Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I was just agreeing with you.
Like, okay, I got a perfect example. This one I'm going to have to turn up the audio. I didn't even know I had this. I got to give a big up on this one to John Cravatta. One of the first times, actually the first time all three of us were recorded was not us trying to make a song. I had already did one of those spoof songs that I was talking about a minute ago, and where we took a popular song and we flipped it. Was Get Drunk. I took Get Down by Craig Mack, and I flipped it to Get Drunk. I don't even remember how that happened. There was a house, there was one of the many, many basement house parties at this kid, Stu, his nickname is Stu. Big up to John Cravatta.
I remember you getting pissed off because people kept trying to interrupt us and stuff like that.
Well, because we were recording, we said, oh, let's record it.
Well, like, don't fuck with this, don't fuck with the process, man.
Well, no, but check, I dug it out.
That's yours.
All right.
Oh, God, no.
What did you say? Throw this man into the dungeon.
There was like 15, 20 people in the room.
So who got the beer? That comes a dime a dozen. That keeps your buzzing. That always makes
this is 1993.
Making the bitch so much that now the dirt become mud. Just call me a fool. Fucked up beyond recognition so far. If I get fucked up, don't try to approach it. I'll be in the bathroom pissing at the cockroaches. Woke up in the morning, heard the rubber dubs up. Though my balls were freezing, I was naked in the tub. Threw up nine times, now I'm feeling fine with this crime. Of course, everyone's screaming, it's filler time. I know you bitch tried to fuck the crow. It ain't so if it's in my head, let me know. In the sex, I'll turn into a hubcap cook, as y'all know, if it gets stuck. Then I get drunk.
Sit on the chorus. And there goes everybody else singing with it. Chris Breezy.
All I gotta say is, my God, thank God the internet came about, because forget the quality of. I couldn't hear it work. Could you make anything out?
I could hear it. Yeah, I could hear it, and then we stuck.
What was that?
It's like I heard it. I heard the song, and then we stunk.
Oh my God, yes! But it was great stink. It was the greatest stink ever.
If Stinking sells albums, we would have been the Soulja Boy of the 90s.
How we do?
The thing with that, dude, we recorded that. We recorded that in one other song just for the hell of it. And even with the bullshit ass, like, our, let me put this in quote unquote, our mixtapes, right? Or albums, but our mixtapes is what they would be called now.
Right.
We didn't put those tracks on any of them. Like the live, that stuff that I just played, like, it's the quality's eh. It was recorded on one of those old school tape recorders, you know, the flat ones, the ones you have to
push
on the orange button with the play button.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Was that the whole Cream Night? It's not Cream Night. But they just kept playing moves like constantly.
That's always a good night.
I know, but they just overkilled one song. And if I hear it on radio today, like as a throwback, I'm just disgusted by it because I heard it so many times.
Unfortunately. Protect your neck or Cream?
No, I don't think it was Cream. I don't think it's something else. I gotta look. You know what? If somebody just like kicked it right now, if I heard it,
it wasn't a side project song, like a Method Man song or something.
No, it's definitely a song because it wasn't Cream. It was something else.
Well,
it wasn't the Rain either. Huh?
On 36 Chambers?
Yeah.
Are you insane? I don't like that.
You can stop now.
Thought I helped. Go ahead.
I'm not going to wreck my brain over it. You know?
All right.
I am. I'm on Amazon.com right now checking the track list.
Oh, boy.
Are you really?
Yeah, he probably is.
Oh, good for you.
Oh, shut the fuck up, you. Alright, on to the next song.
Yeah, so we had that, but that was all that shit was 93, man. 93, 94, and I mean, we had fun. Like, Jonathan was great. I mean, because we had skits all over the album, like with Jonathan just saying, just doing stupid shit. I didn't get too many of them from that one because the sound quality leaves a lot to be desired. Out of all of them, but that one was the worst. Because first off, go ahead.
You know what doesn't help too? The fact that those tapes, if you got that from a tape, then that is severely.
Everything was tapes. Everything was tapes.
Back then, I didn't have tapes, right?
By the way, if it was Method Man, the song Method Man off that album, then I would perfectly agree with you. I can't listen to Method the same way. For some reason, it's just so played out. The second he did that song with Fred Durst, it was over for me.
Oh, the It's Together Now, right?
Yeah.
That kind of, yeah.
All right, moving on. I'm sorry.
Right, it's fine. Hey, man, if y'all get in the flow, go with it. I ain't going to stop you.
No,
but
I want to hear more.
Well, like I said, I didn't get too much. I figured if anything, we just talk about some of the stupid shit because at that point, we were still goofing around. Like we pretty much performed in front of friends, you know what I mean, on a couple of nights. There was a couple of times we got into freestyle sessions, and then all the recording sessions happened because we would have sleepovers. Like, we would hang out all night, especially me and Jonathan would hang out all night. And the first bullshit mixtape, quote unquote, was called For the Poe. And almost all of that was for me. What became the regular process, at least for the first two joints, was we have Kobe headphones.
Yeah,
I would loop them into a desk lamp that had a clip on it. They had, you know what I mean, like a vice clip?
I don't know what you're saying.
Right, and you remember, I would find a break, and I would go real old school, so that I didn't have turntables. I would just loop the break with a pause, like, you know, stop, pause, rewind, record, pause, rewind. And I kept looping the break. You know what I mean? I would loop breaks in the song, make an instrumental that way, try to get any samples I could into it through the headphones, and then we would record onto tape. But then if we did a dub, which was almost all the time, to try to boost up our vocals, since it would come out muffled anyway, then it would further muffle the original vocals. But we had, I don't know how the hell we did it.
You had to sit down to a science.
At that point, yeah. But I didn't mind it. I was having fun. I was having a lot of fun. And think about it like this. I mean, I'm not going to play but I'm going to talk about it, was Watch Out. Which was, it was a story song, and for the record, if anybody wants to hear that one, that's on the MySpace, the Skills on MySpace page as a free download, there's a best of with that song on it. And Jonathan should remember this because there was a phone call. If you remember, the beginning of the story had to do with you getting shot. And then the end of the song, we forgot about you.
That's okay.
And we recorded it twice of just Jonathan yelling and basically going off. Like nothing planned. He just went off the top of his head, which was usually the plan. Like just like we gave you an idea and you ran. And I think you got yelled at by your mom during it.
That would make it even better.
I don't have it, but, man, like that's one of those tracks.
I remember that.
That was the one where you're like, ah, oh, you shot me.
Were we bugging on The Warning?
Yes.
That's what we're, yeah.
Yeah, because I had the song all night, which was, I don't have that, I don't have that one loaded up. That was the one song that I did that all of you fools gave me props on. Because I had used All Night Long. I had looped it with Mary J. Blige singing the chorus. I even snuck on a sample of Jonathan giving me, you know, just saying, Pop is my nigga. And it became a storytelling song that everybody wound up memorizing just from us playing the stuff we were recording at the time for all our friends. For the record, if people are just like, oh, they're just rapping about friends. At one point, we had about... I know I moved about 300 tapes of that Black album, which was the second one, the official second one. We actually had well over 300 people who knew about us.
We were this close to being too short.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So
at
then we
the did... time, though, at the time, that's, this is, look, I mean, I'm not joking all that, but I'm serious. This is before the internet. This is just from word of mouth and friends. So it's not like... You know, when you think about today, you know, you could put something online and a few people will find it on MySpace or some shit like that. But, you know, that was pretty crazy for some high school kids.
Hell yeah. Like, yeah, think of it like this. I was 16 going on 17. You came in at 16. Sid joined up at 17. Let's say if we were to keep a time frame, right? All right, so we did For the Poll. We referenced Sid. Sid's not on the album. It's all me and Jonathan. It's a bunch of skits by Jonathan goofing around. Jonathan was on a couple songs rapping. At that time...
I was like, who is the sidekick from Naughty by Nature? That was me on the first album.
Vinny.
Me or Vinny.
Just showing up a couple spots here and there, bringing everything down.
No, actually, but the thing is like, that's what stood him out. Like, Jonathan became the unofficial hype man without being a hype man. Like, you never took a back seat. You know what I mean? No one ever put you to the background. It was like, boom. No matter where I went with it, like, if I brought any credibility, you made sure people had fun. So if I ever got too serious, you balanced it out immediately. Or you would bring me down with you. You know what I mean? In a good way. Like, I would make sure I wouldn't get too serious. You know what I mean? And a lot of people loved you for that. You know what I mean? That's how Rasta Nut came.
I'm sorry, I can't.
You know what I mean? Like, the Watch Out song, people liked it because it was a story, but everybody dug it because the thing that stood out was the phone call intro and the phone call at the end. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I put like, yo, I just heard a longer version of the phone call. I guess we had like two versions of it, right? With just the phone calls were different. The beat and the verses were still the same. The damn longer version is like 6 minutes long. The actual music part is maybe 3 minutes. It's 3 minutes of Jonathan yelling. And then at the end of the song, people wanted to know what did Jonathan do at the end of the song. Like those who do know about it, like if you're ever wondering did his character in that story ever get saved or anything. In the long version, Jonathan got fed up with me, his character stood up and walked away.
For the record.
He just got up, walked away, saying, I'm an asshole.
Just have to make sure that was clear and concise here because that could have left a lot of open questions.
Yeah, and, but then, like, the bugged out thing is, as stupid as it was for us to try to be a rap crew by joking around and not taking it serious, somehow Sid got into the mix, which is where I'm really foggy. Do you remember how you got into the mix on this? Beyond us being boys, beyond all of us finding a common thread, you know, we're like, we were hip hop heads in a very mixed group of friends. We were the hip hop kids.
To be honest with you, I have no idea.
I think it's because you were trying to be, like, because you were a DJ. And it seemed apropos at the time for two little rappers to have a DJ in the mix. Makes sense to me.
That's true, because when...
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I never...
But since,
honestly, I never really thought about it.
I mean, because it's weird.
Body by Nature had a DJ. Tribe Called Quest had a DJ. All these two rapper groups had a DJ. Public Enemy had a DJ.
Well, I know. I always wanted a DJ. So.
We were following the formula that was successful.
Now, let me rephrase that. You've always wanted a good DJ. Because he got stuck with me along the way for some reason. Dude, I hate you.
But what's it going to say? Like, I remember you being, like, I can't, for some reason, I remember us hanging out and clicking, man. I just think the first day we all started clicking, because it's weird. I can't remember the first time we started hanging out, and then the first time it transitioned from hanging out and being boys to saying, yo, he's part of the rap crew. Like, I can tell you when Richie, like, I, for some reason, I remember Richie coming in, like, 2 months later, because you introduced me to Rich, and I, in turn, introduced Jonathan to Rich. And Rich, also known as DJ Chalk, became kind of the official DJ because Sid was supposed to come in as an MC at that point.
We should have a lot worked out. So.
Even though you did, like, okay, so we did the, like I said, we did the first one for the poll. It was mainly me and Jonathan. But the second one, which is the big one, if we have to say we had any momentum going, it was definitely on the second one, which we refer to as the Black Album, because Sid designed the cover. Like, Sid designed a complete black cover with nothing but the Skills Roll name in white on it. And it's also the same time he created the logo of the crew.
Right.
Which I still love to this day. And because it stands out.
I should clean it up and work on it a little bit more. But.
And then...
I don't know.
And it was great because you even had the cover before we were even done with the songs. Like, recording, you're just like, yo, I got
a little bit of background, of course.
And it definitely hit on a high note because it was in 95 where we started recording in other places. Like, okay, we hooked up with DJ, Sid introduced me to DJ Chalk, Richie B, and he was part of the crew. And we said, okay, we'll record at Richie's house. Plus, Richie had real equipment as opposed to my little, you know, ghetto hookup. So it's like, okay, we got mics. We got live mics. We can have live turntables. He even had a mini sampler on it. It's like we could play around with this. But ironically, the person who had the biggest impact wound up being a guy who we came to call. Well, he has a bunch of names. Sid knows him as Jake. We called him Old Dirty Jew. Our boy Andrew, who had at the time, still rare at the time, he had an Iowa karaoke setup.
Yeah.
And for 1 week, we hung out at his house near the end of the school year. Like that last.
Finish up. I can tell you my memory of that.
All right. We hung out, and for some reason, man, we just started effing around with recording. And next thing you know, we banged out like 4 or 5 songs on audio cassettes. I have about 3 audio cassettes of just recording sessions from that. Everything, the freestyles, to just bugging out, to I have Jonathan playing a guitar. And you don't play the guitar.
Right.
No, I don't have that audio, because I wasn't going to go there.
Oh, man.
Here's what I remember from Jake's house. A lot of drinking.
Damn right. That's why I don't remember shit.
Not on my part. Everybody else's at the time.
You're such a badass liar.
And I just remember, obviously, Skippy for obvious reasons.
Yes, please. Please, one of you two fools, because one of you two fools took this ball and ran with it. Explain Skippy. Skippy is so predominant by the second album. For the 200-plus people who actually have those tapes, there was a little wanted poster, mini wanted poster in there of Skippy.
So, I think we ran some kind of mini contest, like if you found Skippy.
Yes, if you recall, we had an alternate cover, and we signed about 25 of the alternate covers, all 3 of us. And we said, and then you, actually, I didn't even devise this. You, both of you fools devised this. Everybody, check this shit out. These fools went on tape and told me to keep it in. They said they wanted everybody to count how many times the word Skippy was said on the album. And if they rolled up to us and told us the correct number, we would try to hook them up with something, which we realized after the fact, after they set this up, that we said, okay, we'll just give away an autograph cover because you never know, and it's stupid and it's cheap, and we don't care.
That's pretty – oh, Skippy. That's where you were going with it.
Yeah.
All right. Skippy is Andrew's – I keep wanting to call him Andrew. He's Jake's little brother.
Oh, my God. That dude –
yeah, whenever we were hanging out at the house recording for that week, which is probably one of the best sessions we've ever had together as a group.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because it was just balls out, have some fun, not caring, you know, nuts in his drug-induced haze. Everybody's drunk on the floor. And Pops is just writing rhymes. I'm designing a cover. You're designing one other cover. And it was just 1 week of complete, utter chaos. And Skippy would be in the area and always be, you know, looking up to his big brother, obviously.
Yeah.
Sit there and, you know, listen in and was into it and whatnot. He would tell all of his little friends and they would come by. And there's a great story coming out of that one, too, with the girl named Dirty, but that's...
Oh, yeah, we can't go into that one.
I got to remember that one.
Yeah, yeah, let's not get into that. But Skippy, I'm putting you on blast.
Do we need
it? No, I'm not getting into that story. But you can email me at selfmakerradio @yahoo.com. And basically, what happened was Net just started with it, and in his haze started yelling Skippy throughout one of the freestyles.
Yeah, he was yelling that. I put it like this. I was playing beats. I was sitting there because we always had tapes on us because we always rolled around with Walkmans. So Jonathan would have like 6 albums. I would have like 4 albums. Sid would have like another 4 albums. And it would be like, all right, let's find a beat. If we got a break, I can create an instrumental right then and there. And I would make the instrumentals. I would play the instrumentals. And before anybody got to do anything with them, you and Jonathan would sit there and start – if there was any way to say Skippy or sing Skippy,
Absolutely.
Found it.
Oh, yeah. It happened.
Me and Sid, we definitely just ran with that shit.
Oh, we took the ball and ran with it. Where it comes to, put it like this, Nut. The last time I saw Skippy, the real Skippy, the authentic Skippy, he was mentioning about it, and that was probably during a birthday party. Yeah.
We left this lasting impression on him, didn't we?
More than you'll ever know, my friend.
Is he on Facebook? I got to see him.
No.
He's not.
He has a MySpace account for a while.
He's probably too cool for that.
But you know what? As a matter of fact, last time I checked, he was like working in the banking industry, and he gave me his business card for some reason. I have no idea.
He wanted you to invest in some derivatives.
to think that Skippy, out of all people, is somewhat of a financial agent handling money kind of scares me to a point in time, but...
that's not a surprise considering what happened to the economy.
Yeah, real shock.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and I think, it's been a lasting impression.
But now, it's funny because that Black Album, we had that great week. We had the Skippy stuff. I think I have one or two... That week we had like a great recording. Like we recorded a bunch of stuff. We got a ton of stuff out of it, right? And I'm going to go to the one song that stood out. But I also got to point out, like during that, it was for like 3 months because at that time we also expanded it. Like we had Richie Chalk in the mix.
Right.
We started recording at his house.
Right.
All
right.
And it did become a pain in the ass because also to be fair, we could, at this point, aside from Andrew's house that week, we could never all get together and record at the same time. It was a juggling act. Like, we weren't being scumbags. It just, like, you know, somebody was always busy doing something. So, like, we would record. Like, there was I think I have this loaded also. If we get to it, we'll get to it. There was that song Players Day that I did. And then I said, hell with it. because Puffy was on a remix kick. He was beginning his remix kick. And I said, we got to do a remix then. And I said, all right, I got to get Jonathan on it. All right, I got to try to get Sid on it. All right. And then we had another MC. We have one of my friends out of Brooklyn who was trying to be an MC. And I said, my boy Anthony, who did pass away, but he was going to be, in my mind, I said, all right, you know what? He said he was writing rhymes. He was trying to stay on the straight and narrow. I said, all right, you roll with me, and you can be the credible, you can be the hardcore MC with credibility. So if we got a crazy man in the group, and we got some real hip-hop heads, and I was trying to become the lyricist, like, this is where we started. We were still bugging out, but we were trying to take it, we were trying to be a little bit more serious. I would dare say at the same time, like, you knew when we were fucking around, and you knew when we were serious.
Yeah.
And so we had, like, a five-man crew at that time, and it became a headache because I would record Kid Slice's verse at my house in Brooklyn with the Kobe headphones. Then we would try to nail down Jonathan wherever we could nail down Jonathan. If it was at my house, if it was at Andrew's house, if it was at Richie's house, then we'd go to Richie. And then we would roll with Richie, and Richie was also up in the air half of the time because Richie, we only recorded some of the vocals at his house. The other half of the time, he'd be at, like, his partner Anthony's house, or he'd be at a party or something, and we cut something right there on the spot. So then I had to take all this stuff home, and what they now call punching in, I wouldn't punch in, but I basically cut it up. So that whole pause and that whole record, pause, stop and go method that I employed, I had to do it again. So, like, if anybody's listening to those tapes, you can hear it. Like, you can hear sometimes the audio change. You can hear the dubbing jump over each other.
You were the Irv Gotti of producing. Am I correct with that?
Oh, my God. Irv Gotti.
But we had a lot of fun. At the same record, also, for the Black Album, I also think had the most cameos. Like, Andrew got on as Old Dirty Jew.
Right.
Our boy at the
time. You were trying to record that.
That was fun. We also had our boy, our enforcer at the time, who, and I say that with love, our boy Jimmy Fingers, as we call him, James. We got him on a song, which that people, we had a whiter than white boy down the rap. I wrote the verse. It took us about 8 tries sitting with him, all of us, to try to record one verse out of him because he couldn't say more than 2 bars without falling apart.
It was funny, though, trying to get through it the first couple times.
Oh, and Jonathan, you have to remember this because we were fighting with him. If you remember, like, he wanted to do it, but he couldn't. He wasn't going to flow. Oh, my God. Matter of fact, let's embarrass somebody.
What? Let's do it.
Show them what you got.
Hey, that's what I say when the old 32 comes to slay. Foreskin as I come nearer and nearer. Now you come screaming.
Akira!
You haven't heard rhymes as Friday sleep since the Brooklyn Jew. So let me come in with the lyrics I just threw up and hoiled. While you're sinking faster than water boiled. That's your typical Jew, when black regards, except no one ever lights my menorah. A rage of a mage blowing up this spot, ripping up shit, eating bagels and locks. Oh, you're for shit.
Damn, we were most stereotypical people.
And I wrote that verse. And then I went on, and then I started, I freestyled my verse. I wasn't going to rhyme. I wasn't going to write it.
Every freaking day and every freaking night, listen to my lyrics because they're so freaking tight. Every freaking night and every freaking day, listen
Jodeci
to
God.
The words that the girl has
big
to
Jodeci
say. So listen, get your bitch and then listen
I think
to
me
my
and that got into it one night about singing it in the back. I think it was in the subway, or I think it was in the teardrop.
Like I said before, word is bound and sound. So I'm setting things off like a car alarm. Yes, brothers. You've been warned that the tall Puerto Rican that has the lyrics that are he seeking. Oh yes, I'm tweaking. What the hell is that? That's something from the West Coast. Except I boast that I'm the most. I come from shit more butter than toast. Don't you know? I don't know what that meant. Except you got some bullshit rhymes, nigga, get bent. That's some shit back from the 50s. Except nobody can get with a PAD. As I flip it with the extreme team. Yes, you know I'm much more than I seem. So don't even come like that. Yo, your lyrics are whack and all of that. So yo, I'm representing with the Jew and my man Fingers. Yes, one of the thought lingers that we flip shit 4-9-6 in
wow,
the
I wasn't half
yet.
Bad on this.
And we don't play with no kind of dicks. In other words, the horse, they get out the door.
Now, I'm pretty sure James comes up next.
9-3-9-2
X-9-B-1. You guys can hear how
yes.
bad it was cut
and we can
up
do
and try
this
to get
for fun.
Verse
as I'm
going to
flip it back one time, Crow P-A-B is done with his rhyme.
Okay.
The
there you go.
In the play.
Watch out now. Italians in the place. Fingers off the scumbags without a trace. Looking for douchebags, I mean women. You got beef? I'm gonna whack you on me. I'm a guy who don't like the DH rule and ain't afraid to say, fuck you. Don't expect me to be any nicer. I only like ECW with Budweiser.
And there goes the coaching.
A home run is about to be hit. I can't believe I'm doing this rap shit. Word to bird. Show shaboom, bitch!
You heard us get excited because we did it.
All excited because we did it.
Oh, here he comes.
Sound check, here we go. 1-2 ripper, it's the one called
that's
the Ripper to do
man.
All
that's
this
a bad look of my car right
here
there.
Here I go again with the PAB. Niggas,
oh, you had energy. You were excited to jump in, though.
Down with the KB. Yeah, and it went out like 2 minutes later.
Down from the SOC. I like the samples, I'm hooked on chronic.
Yeah, you can stop and check if you'd like. Thank you. Hey, it's not over. Just up a shot, please. Where's that shot sound, huh?
I turned on YouTube.
Put that mic on the faster. Now you know why I get behind car cables for a living now.
Oh man, but you know what? I got to give props to that album, that same Black album. Beyond the remixes and us bugging out and all that other stuff. I also got to give credit. I got to give a shout out to our boy Jason from Brooklyn, because he's still Big Boy Jay. Still puts on people to the crew, to the old tapes. Apparently on that same tape, I did Poe Pimp Pappy P, the character. And apparently that's become a big thing with him and his peoples.
What?
Yeah.
To this day, really?
Yeah, man.
There's really nothing to do with Pappy Pimp.
Which Poe Pimp Pappy P is a trip, because that whole thing was based off of me and Jonathan goofing around on the train. Like, I think the best song I ever did was freestyling in that character on the train one time. Jonathan, I know, heard it, but he's not going to remember it because I don't remember it.
The only time I remember me and you busting around on the train was when you puked up that strawberry jello and made the whole fucking Cosmo like. That falls out there. Damn it, I don't feel so good. This big 7-foot motherfucking puking. Everyone like, oh shit. Is that blood? Oh no, it smells so good.
Oh, thanks. Good looking out.
How do you want to explain Tim Pappy P? I mean, there's many ways to get honey bear on crack.
Yeah, that was a
that's
good way.
That's like it. That is like that's.
But I gotta. But just so I don't lose track, there were two things I want to touch on before we move forward, because I know I'm trying to pace this out right. I know we can go on for days. I'm trying to pace it out right. So forgive me, guys. The Pope of Happy P, we already know, was a character with me in a high nasally whiny voice as a broke ass pimp, like a pimp who lived on welfare, who had no game. That was, I guess, the premise. And I did a whole song on the train, man, and because it was just me goofing around, it came out like flawless. And then it was Jonathan, even though he doesn't remember, he was like, you got to record a song like that. You have to get a song like that. And I wound up just the Curiosity beat by Aaron Hall. I jumped all over it, and I just ran with it. And next thing I know, a character was born, which wound up coming back on the album after that, the Bodega Bash with Rasta Nut, which had not been seen since before the poll. But just to finish off on the Black Album stuff, two things came out of the Black Album. One, probably the worst singing ever done while sober.
Unfortunately, yes.
Now, do you guys remember? You guys definitely have to remember this. We were huge fans of Southern Comfort.
Oh, yeah.
my concrete has never, ever recovered.
And I'm going to play some of it because I got to, all right? Because the song among our little among all the people who followed us, who I played the song for, all fell in love with the damn song immediately. Like, it would have been our quote-unquote single. You know what I mean? And it wasn't a real – it wasn't a rap song. It wasn't a real rap song. It was around.
It was the hair band alternative to doing a ballad.
And it was done at Andrew's house. There was six of us. No, seven of us. Excuse me. It was seven of us.
Did we count Skippy in that?
Yeah, that's what I'm counting. So there were seven of us with Skippy. All right, so we have me, we all wrote the lyrics together. One of the few times we also, all three of us sat down and got, literally all three of us wrote the verses together. It wasn't a lot of writing. We just were taking notes so we knew where to go with it, right? Jonathan had bought Bone Thugs and Harmony's album at the time. So we used the Buddha Lover beat off of that. And then we had Sean, this kid Sean, who was a huge alcoholic and druggie. Who was sober at the time, hanging out. What?
And amongst other things.
Yeah, but he was sober when this was going on. We had Jimmy Fingers, who you heard in the last song, right? And then you had Andrew, and all of us were sober. It was like 1 o'clock in the afternoon when we did this.
Yeah.
And we had so much fun doing it, we recorded two versions of it. The other version is longer and the audio is lower, so I didn't even bother with that. But you know what? So people know, for the alcoholics out there, all right, and if anybody wants to jump in, please. All right, it starts with Jonathan goofing around.
Drinking really makes me happy.
And he knocks down the mic.
That's a fucking intro. I'm telling you, motherfucker, if you white prince don't even fucking harmonize, I don't care how motherfucking drunk you are, you get the fuck out.
Molly Mo has nothing on you on an intro, dude.
So now you have the three lead singers are us, and then we had background singers who would come in on the choruses.
Keep giving that shot that's sending me straight to heaven. Keep giving me shot that's sending me straight to heaven.
Keep giving me shot.
Keep giving me shot that's sending me straight to heaven.
That are sending me straight to heaven.
Keep giving me shot that's sending me straight to heaven.
Man, we stink singing.
Nothing but a bunch of alky.
Yeah, that's us. Sober.
Sober. People don't believe we were sober.
Drinking really makes me happy.
Wise words.
Bathroom. I gotta go
harder.
Bathroom.
You know how we're telling the coach just to jump in on it?
I gotta go.
Wait, Jonathan, I can't even. That's why I had to kill it.
Eminem must have gotten one of our tapes because I'm looking at some of the shit that motherfucker pulled off. I'm like, that motherfucking biter.
650,000 copies first week. That's the estimate.
Wow.
That's what happens when you get a bunch of tween girls to put $10 in their hands.
Oh, man. So that.
No offense. I'm still not sold. Still not sold.
To each their own, dude. Like I said, me and Sid liked it, but to each their own. You know what I mean? Some people didn't. I didn't like Buster. I can't stand Buster's new album at all.
We gotta respect my conglomerate.
That's actually right. A decent song on the album.
I'm sorry, I just gotta represent my clique. That's right.
I hate it when old rappers try to act real hard. I mean, God, please.
All I can say is Blackout 2, Blackout 2, Blackout 2, Blackout 2, Blackout 2. All right, so the last thing before we move on to the probably our defining song ever came out of the Black Album.
And there was a defining song?
There was a defining song.
Okay.
All right, the defining song.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Skills roll. Back. Hot dog.
Fucking hot dog.
Yeah.
bring recorded with Richie on the turntable.
Yeah, here we go. Howdy ho, howdy ho. What the what? I got the rhyme to make you shake your butt. What the? Howdy ho, howdy ho. What the what? I got the rhyme to make you shake your butt. What the? Oh, terrific. Now my style's getting uplifted. I'm blessed with some hype, so you guess you call me gifted. I come with the style you can call
I
giraffe.
Think we almost got sideways.
But we haven't even touched that.
I know.
You ain't gonna have it.
Oh, we'll get into that in a minute.
Dick blasted, not that it mattered. When they like to move me, when they really want to do me.
With
who
the talent scout name are there?
With the taste for adventure like Indiana Jones. But me and Grip the one kicking freestyles over the phone. Now you start to shiver, and now you start to quiver. I hit you in the liver with the styles that I deliver. Listen to my Sony with my headset made from Kobe. I'm giving off my dick like my name was fucking...
All right. I just stopped it. That was an abrupt stop. That was the boy.
That was an abrupt...
No, well, the thing is, now, see, I was talking, now, Jonathan.
You're called Khaled.
Thank you. Now, Jonathan, you know the song as well as I do. That is not the version that we've performed live.
No, we have a totally different beat behind it.
Now, see, this is the weird thing. Even I forgot. Originally, when I came up with the huh, for the record, I'm just going to give a quick backstory. The huh was because every time we saw a girl that we thought was a skeezer, I didn't start this. I think Sid and Paul started. Paul, one too many, another shout out, would sing hi-ho, hi-ho. You know, like the Snow White thing, right?
Old habits die hard, what can I say?
So that got stuck in my head, and then I said, all right, well, then Biggie and Method Man had the song, The What, which was a favorite of ours.
Yeah.
So I said, all right, I don't know why I said hi-de-ho. I said, let me flip it backwards, ho-de-hi. And instead of the what, the huh. And then the rhymes that got to make you shake your butt was based off of a line from a verse on another song. So it just sounded good. So I said, all right, the hell. And if you recall, it took forever to learn how to say it comfortably where it flowed. Even with me, like I wrote the damn thing. And the original that I just started playing was, and Sid probably does not remember this, it was supposed to be a song with me and Sid. That was supposed to be me and Sid's The What. Like me and
right.
Sid really going back and forth. But Sid bullshitted on writing the verse.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
So I wound up recording, like the one I just played, we did at Richie's house one of the few times.
I remember that one. I remember recording that.
Yeah, that's the one I just played. But we did. Go ahead.
Like turntables being up to like my chest and shit all over the place. Those are really messy.
Yeah, they were very high.
I'm like, you need a stepping stool just to fucking put on a record.
All right, but then...
Wait, I'll give you the ironic thing. It hasn't changed. They're still that high.
Oh, my God.
Pick up the Richie B. He's not with us tonight, but pick up the Richie. But then, now, Sid was supposed to get on it, so I wound up recording it when it got time for crunch time. I had the verses ready to go. Sid was going to do one verse. I was going to do two. And Sid wasn't ready, so we did the one you just heard. It goes two verses long. It's all me. With Jonathan on the chorus, and there's no dubs because we recorded it directly. Two mics, and we recorded it directly. Then by that point, we were already comfortable with the song. What I'm about to play has never been heard. Okay? We did get Sid. We did.
Oh,
I don't
God.
Know. We
rarity.
We did try to get Sid on this. Now, I just got to say, the huh became our key song because it went through changes. 3 years, it went through changes. All right, because we kept using it for various things, and I'm explaining why.
Am I thinking Tom's party, where you guys did it live?
Yep.
We did it at Tom's party. We did it at two showcases.
Yes.
We performed it also at a talent scout where I started forgetting the lyrics and Jonathan pulled my ass out the fire. And it happens to be also the last song we ever performed live together, and then we officially called it quits.
It was our Sex Pistols moment. That was our Sex Pistols moment, that last fucking show. We did like two songs, like out bitches.
Okay, so.
If I remember that right, you're thinking about Tom's party, right? Was that the last, that live version?
Well, that Richie's party was the bodega.
Oh, yes.
But we'll,
no,
we're gonna,
was,
hopefully
that
we'll get up to that. Hopefully we'll get up to that. But
that was the contest.
So all of this will lead up into the album talk, the label talk, okay? Because somewhere between the Black Album and the Bodega Bash, a lot of things happened. where. But first, let's play the cut. All right, I'm gonna have to put Sid on blast on this, not intentionally, because this is just a rare. This is one of those rare cuts. I don't think no one's ever really heard.
Why even put me on blast and not even play it?
All right.
don't even play it.
No, we're gonna play it. We're gonna play it.
I'm gonna leave the room right now.
This is from the Andrew. This is from the Old Dirty Jew session. Okay. We tried to get Sid on. Sid at the time said, you know what, I'll try freestyling it and we'll see what happens.
And it turned out terrible.
All right, but also I got to be fair. You were also, you had graduated. You knew that was going to be your last summer before you went up to St. Rose. Big up to St. Rose.
That's true. So, big shout out to my alma mater of crappiness.
Okay, so with that, you incorporated that into the freestyle. So I got to explain that off the bat. So I got to give a quick backstory. This was, Sid was pretty much leaving the crew. Even though he didn't come back at the end. He didn't come back at the end of the group. But
I was hungry. Then I actually went to the school and said, screw it.
Yeah, he left. So that's why he's not on the next album after. He's not on the Bodega Bash, which was our third one, because he was away at college. But then he did come back later on. But anyway, here we go. Check this out.
This is terrible.
We're trying to get Sid on the cut. Oh, wait, nope. Oh, I got people kicking the hell out of everything. What the hell just happened there?
You know who you got to blame on that one.
No, that was my stupid ass. I'm sorry.
Oh, was it you?
Yeah.
I'm blaming you.
I got too much audio in front of me. I'm sorry.
But what do you have, like a crate of records right there in front of you?
Yes, I do, actually.
It's terrible, man.
All right, here we go. Check this out. Peep this. The original version of the hum, we still were not comfortable with the chorus either.
Is this where I still piecemeal?
It's low.
Were you trying to be video friendly, I think?
No, not yet. That had not happened yet, but we did go there.
It was just you and me. We was in ecstasy all through the night. Man, I can't say. That's terrible.
I hate to really leave. I'll say goodbye, but I don't really care because there's a tear in my eye. Here I go now again with my big
wow.
Ass.
Now you know. Now you know why I really try to be for profession now. There's your reason. That's the second record I'll make you. It's the goodbye. The true one. I'm saying ho. I don't really care because I'm going to get a lot of things. I'll be busting. I'll pass it off. And niggas don't show, yo, set it off. Oh, terrific. Now my stuff ain't uplifting. I'm blessed with some ice, so I guess you call me something.
All right. You can call your rap. Yeah, let me stop that. So the song basically becomes the verse that I wrote. But that was our attempt to get Sid on it.
Best part was when it ended, no offense, but you ended strong.
Yes, he did. Sid always ends strong. There's a freestyle.
No! Yeah, you know that.
Because the few freestyles we had, Sid, there's a pattern to Sid. Like, Sid starts out, like, Sid started out always with, like, let's say four bars in his head. You know what I mean? Like he already had ready to go.
And then it just went right downhill from there.
And then he falls off. And some of the freestyles, like there's one freestyle which I love because it helps the beat. And then you hear the beat also like start.
Fall off with me.
You fell off the beat. You fell off the beat. Like you
I know what you're talking about.
And then you jump back in just as the bass started kicking. So it sounds so intentional that it's not even funny. That's why I love it. I was like, oh my God.
I really hope that doesn't get put on blast either, so that's good.
No, we ain't got that much time, but if we did...
Thank God.
What happened?
How much time we have left on this show?
We got about another 25 minutes, sir.
Good. I'm loving this.
All right, so...
You're loving this, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
He just heard you get put on blast, and he's loving it. He's like, oh, shit, got his feet held to the fire. Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I'm serious. I like that.
I understand.
I didn't give proper credit credits to. I got to give credit to Jonathan also because on the writing level, when we did For the Poe, he just wanted. This is not a knock against you, Jonathan, but you really just wanted to be part of it. So you contributed what you could. We did a lot of writing together for your verses with me doing the bulk, and then you would find. And then you would fine tune it so that it fits you.
Yep, yep.
By the Black album, when you were left to your own devices, he wrote and. Any verse, you people want to hear Jonathan's own writing with no input whatsoever from me, like no assistance or nothing, if you have those tapes, if you're a fan and you listen to this, dig out those tapes, and when you hear Jonathan rapping serious, not goofing around, rapping serious, he always said something. Like, I don't have too many songs loaded up, but I have more wacky shit than anything else. But
I feel like I'm Flavor Flav. Like, all I'm known for is fucking
fuck. No, but because I knew we were on a time frame, man. So you know what I mean. I had to kind of. I really had. Like, there's a lot more stuff on here. I know I'm not going to be able to get to, but like there was one song I would have loved to play, which was "I Shot Ya." No, "Who Shot Me?" Excuse me, "Who Shot Me?" Which we did. Which is, for the record, again, if you go to the Skills World MySpace page. In the blog, there is a link for a best of album. It's completely free, no sign up, no bullshit. That song's in there also.
Man,
and,
the Shill King goes to work again.
Hey, it's all of us getting some love, okay? But Jonathan's verse, actually, he talks about hip-hop. Like, he talks about the way he feels about hip-hop in the same vein that Common did in I Used to Love Her. And it's very serious. You know what I mean? Like, I kicked off the verse with my usual stuff. Wordplay, a little goofiness. You know, trying to go for more punchlines. We had that other kid Slice. He came in. He was still trying to find his spot in the group. So it's just there. Like, not shitting on him, but it's just there. You know what I mean? It's nothing spectacular. And then Jonathan came in. And then if you expect wackiness or craziness, it was not there. It just wasn't there. And he came with something completely serious. And I was like, that's my shit. You know what I mean? Like, right. That's my shit.
Mm-hmm. That's my shit.
Like, you give Jonathan time to think with his writing. During that period, he gave you something worthwhile. If he was in the mood to just go off the dome, it became a free-for-all. It became a complete free-for-all. So that's what it was. So going back to the huh, so we did the huh. The huh, for some reason, I liked the chorus a lot because it stuck out in everybody's head. At this time, we got an invitation to go to WNYU radio, which we were told, I was told, we were going to be put on the air and be given a little shine. One of the few times, all five members of the group, DJ Richie B, Sid, myself, Nut, and Kid Slice, all went out to Queens. We tried to record with Kid Slice, who had a hard time. We went to Dunkin' Donuts, and we were coaching them until it was time to leave. Then we all hopped in Richie's car. We drove out to the Village, went up to WNYU Radio. We never got on the air.
With DJ Riz from Kirkland Clan, by the way. Let's just throw that out there as well.
So we were there.
We saw the studio.
What happened?
We saw the studio.
Well, here's the best thing about
it. I don't even know the story, but I guess there was a time or something like that on the late night show.
Yeah, they ran out of time.
Yeah, that was the deal. But for the record, though, I did find out we got on the air, but inadvertently. If you remember, we were hanging out at the show, and we were waiting. And then we started freestyling in the hallway, and we started doing the songs, outside of the booth.
Yeah.
We got so loud. Because we were freestyling over house beats, and we were doing the songs over the house beats they were playing, they heard us in the booths because the booth soundproofing sucked. So our audio bled onto the air, which was like, I was like, you know what, I got to look out because my boy was the producer of that show that we were at, and he was trying to give us some shine, you know, just to be cool. And we, you know, we kind of got played in the deal, but in the end, we kind of stuck it to him because we indirectly still got on the air because we didn't know how to shut the fuck up.
That was the moral victory.
It was a moral victory.
And then at the same time, Sid and myself also started, and this is for everybody out there, we did get offers. We did actually entertain labels with some of the more realer material that I haven't really played tonight.
Some of the real stuff.
Some of the better, stronger material. You know, but the reason why we never signed, they were just shitty deals. Every deal, every offer, and we only had like two or three, and then I actually had two offers at the same time to ghostwrite And they were all shitty offers. Every single one of them was a shitty offer. It was basically, we'll put you on, you'll get exposure, we get everything else.
Correct me if I'm wrong on this. I think the first deal that everybody was offered, I think as a group on ghostwriting, was, and I don't know if people actually listen to this and know the business, but it was like less than 3 points for the album.
Oh,
I heard that.
I will gladly tell you everybody what I was offered on the deal. They were going to, I got no points. I had no publishing. My deal was going to work with, you guys will love this. This is for all my 90 heads. I was offered to ghostwrite for Def Jam artists, up and coming Def Jam artists at the time. Do I know who they were? No, I cannot air out anybody saying I know who, you know, like who I was going to be writing for.
I can air them out pretty quickly.
You know, I would have, if I knew who they were, but the deal was I was going to be paid per song up front. And upon that song, like once, you know, once the transfer was done, like I give up the lyrics, tape, which was, I had to give up also a tape, a reference tape.
And the masters are not yours either.
Basically, I got no publishing. I basically got a fat fee. It was like, all right, here is $100, $200 for your three verses and a chorus, plus the reference tape, if I can supply it. And that's it. If your song blows up with said artist, you know, just be happy someone's playing this, you know, someone's doing your stuff. I get no credits.
Right.
I get no points. I get no publishing. Because I was an unknown dude helping out a name guy.
Which probably sucked anyway.
You know what I mean? So basically, it would have put money in my pocket in the moment, but that was it. That was going to be the end all be all. And maybe, you know, people could say whatever, you know, like I know everybody probably would have had their own way of reacting to it. I thought at that time my material was too strong to give up that freely. Like I was better off keeping it.
I think, you know what, also I think they didn't know that we were very into like our record deal, you know what I mean?
Yeah. We were offered an EP. And the EP was like, yo, we forfeited all publishing. It was one of those, you know, we'll pay you up front, and that's it. It was another pay up front deal, and we forfeit all publishing. And it was an EP at the time.
Right.
Major points for anybody out there who remembers EPs. And it was pretty much one of those deals where, let's say, if we took it and we had a song blow up, we wouldn't have saw any more money off of that song. Touring, if we were able to tour or something, yeah, you know, whatever money we make on the side is what we made them sign. But in regards to that album, that was it.
So and at the time, the tour would have consisted of Brooklyn, Queens, Staten Island, Long Island.
Yeah, it would have been local. But, and my big concern at that time, I remember saying was, all right, so we can literally become a one-hit wonder. Worst case scenario, let's say, worst case or best case, depending on your point of view, we become a one-hit wonder. Right, and that one hit winds up being the song that we have no rights, you know what I mean? Like, we have nothing for.
I think they didn't expect us to be that business savvy because we read a lot of magazines about the industry and everything like that at the time as well.
It's just basically, we would have been a cuckold for the business is what they call it. Basically, we would have sat back and watched somebody else fuck our woman.
Nice. Yeah.
And with that, we go into the Bodega Badge.
But he does have a lot of love to give.
Yeah. Baby.
Yes, people. It's the One Nut Single.
One thing to say to you.
A lot of love.
Just one thing. Get on your knees. A lot of love. So please, suck on this.
Baby.
Please, suck harder.
That is about officially a minute and a half of my life I can't get back.
That song, I love that song.
I do love that song.
And the best part is, you know what, Jonathan, I'm sorry, man, but you had that whole Adam Sandler from Airheads thing working at that period in time.
Oh,
at this point, we're in 96, and he had this goofy silliness about him, and he just got so much play. Like, he didn't see it. I saw it. But, like, every girl I know that listened to, that even bothered to entertain our stuff, knew that song. Like, they knew it back and forth, and they loved it.
Oh, well, you really got me anywhere.
You know? And I was just like...
The One-Nut Assassin. Lover.
Oh, my God. I'm on the MySpace page right now looking at these corny-ass pictures of us.
From back in the day.
Oh, my God. Dude, look at those Coke bottle glasses.
That's awesome, man.
So, yeah, so from that point, from the Black Album, you know, we only got 14 minutes. If we go over, fuck it, we'll just do it on the, you know, we won't have too many, we won't have music, but, so yeah, we flipped for the Black Album, you know, entertaining the album deals. Sid goes away to college at this point. We still have DJ Chalk. We decide we're going to keep recording because we're still having fun doing it. So now it's back to just me and Jonathan. We have Chalk. For some reason, we couldn't schedule anything. In 6 months, we couldn't schedule any recording with Richie. And so Richie is not on the album, but he's considered part of the group. You know, and Kid Slice had fell off the map also at this time. So it was back to me and Jonathan. And at this point, we were really going in. Like, that lot of love, I think, was probably the one really goofy song on the whole album. Other than that, like, we started doing showcases.
Yep.
And this is where the hug came back into play. Again, we took a song that was supposed to be me and Sid that became just me, and we remixed it, and it's the only clean song we ever made, because I rewrote it entirely. I added Jonathan into it, and I kept it completely clean, because at all the showcases we were told you can't do anything dirty.
Yeah, you can't curse.
So I wind up recutting the song. Me and Jonathan recorded the song, and then he took a copy, I took a copy, so we can memorize it. You know what I mean? Like, really keep playing it over and over and over and keep get it down for the performances. And we did one performance somewhere on the west side, man, and we tore that shit down, like, to the point where there was a video of it. It was played on Manhattan Cable.
Yep.
And
right before the televangelist preacher.
Yes. If you remember, the wait staff and the cooks came out of the kitchen because we had everybody in the crowd singing with the chorus.
We killed it.
And then we got invited to come back again for the second time, which proved to be a huge pain in the ass. We came back again a second time. This time it was at the Blue Angel. And the Blue Angel is, at the time, was downstairs from Bad Boy Studios. And then we find out Puffy had apparently passed through checking it out. But he did not see our performance, which sucks.
Yeah.
Technically, that's not the first time
we've kind of shoot Tupac.
Nice.
Oh, man. I say that's not the first time, ironically, we've run into Puff, but that's a totally different story altogether.
That's right. Sid did run into Puff. Wait, who was it? Was Sid, James, Jonathan, were you with that when you guys ran into Puff?
I don't remember running. I remember going to the Atlantic Avenue, like,
concert. Oh, well, we saw Biggie and Craig Knight.
Oh, yeah. And who was that? Miss Jones, too. She was there.
That's right. Miss Jones was there.
And that's when they blew the three girls, right? The three little girls? You want to do another song? And the crowd's like, no, get off the stage. Felt so natural. Terrible.
Oh, man. But you know what? Let me just give everybody a quick sample. It's, for people who want to hear it, there is a recording, the only clean version of a Skills World song ever. Because everything we did was dirty. even if we didn't try to be dirty, we wound up like Jonathan would. Yeah. Let's go there. Okay.
Nice.
Oh, it was great. Yeah. This was the beat we used also for the showcases, but only for the showcases. Again, hot dog. I can't explain the hot dog. Ask the boy when the music stops.
Check it one time.
At this point, we had the chorus down pat because we had did it like four different versions.
Shake your butt. Hold it high.
Something bad right now. It's junk.
Now it's time to even up the score. So the poor is breaking right down that door. Shipping to your more till you're feeling intoxicated with the bodega funk that we've created. People said we ain't paid dues.
We haven't even made it.
So just today I put down my first down payment on the thing we flipped. The hipper to the hopper, the party non-stoppers, yo nuts, K-Pasa.
Let me get on the mic and get my chance. Make you wanna dance right out your pants. The rants and raves on what we do. Saying rhymes that make me fall go ooh.
Just ooh and ah on what we bust. Cause it's a must that I rock up.
Big bag of us.
In my rap with nut because he's my head day. We'll be eating coochie frito. Bumping to
the
wind day.
Hold it high.
What
the what?
I got the rhyme to make you shake your butt.
Yeah, so that was that. Let me cut that out. I know it came out louder over the air. But yeah, so that was the clean mix that we used to perform live. The only clean mix. We've never ever done that. We never did that beforehand, and we didn't do it again since.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like them taters.
Nice. I'm sorry, that's the way you sound. Even though I also gotta put Richie on blast. I didn't touch upon this, but since we're sharing stories, man.
Okay.
Here is something. Sid, were you there for the performance that Richie invited me to at the church, the Catholic school?
What, the feast? The old G feast?
Yeah.
I came. I heard about it later.
All right. Jonathan wasn't there for that. Jonathan wisely backed out of this.
Yeah, I heard about it. I heard about it. If I remember this right, I'm not too sure. I came back, I think, the day later or something like that. And then you told me what happened.
Okay, here's a true coming up story, all right? So far we talked about entertaining a possible deal. We entertained ghostwriting, moving stuff on what's now considered the mixtape circuit. We were doing it. I mean, there was mixtapes then, but you know how people make albums with mixtapes? We would do, fuck that. I'm going to make the claim. We was pioneers, bitches.
Wow.
And give me my respect, all right? Give us our respect. And shit, we moved like 300 tapes of just one thing alone, you know what I mean? And every other one, with the exception of the last one, we moved about 100 each, if you know what I mean, 100 to 200.
It's amazing we knew that many people.
And apparently I also did find out, not to veer too far off, I also did find out a lot of those people that did get the stuff from us in turn put other people on, and that whole, like, hey, make me a copy. Hey, make me a copy happen. So who knows? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, there's a long list of shout-outs of people who I know were in turn putting other people on and making them copies or telling them to copy it. But, yeah, so going back to the concert, the one time I left DJ Chalk, Richie B, to set up a gig, I get a phone call on a Saturday. I'm working at my job on a Saturday at the Brooklyn Academy of Music. Richie calls me, pages me, and I call him back, and he says, I got a gig tonight. He's like, it's going to be it's a school thing. I'm DJing it. They're cool with it. He tells me, like, you'll have a stage. I think you might have lights. He's like, can you get the guys and come down? You know, it's going to be good. We can do a couple of songs. And in my head, I'm like, we haven't practiced any sets. You know, we'll really be winging it. So I was like, the hell with it. Like, he was really begging me to do it. So I was like, all right, you know, I'm game. Fine, why not? I called Jonathan. Jonathan says he can't make it. And to be honest with you, Jonathan, I think you could have made it if you wanted to, but I think you had no interest. And then Kid Slice was my other backup. I called Kid Slice, and Kid Slice couldn't make it either. He was just not going to be able to make it in time because we were pressed for time. It had to be that night, and he had called me at like 4 o'clock, and the shit was like, I had to be out in Queens. I had to be out in Howard Beach, Queens by like 7. So it was just like, Jesus Christ. So it like left me no time to get anything together. And Sid was still away at college. So I go to the gig solo, all right, thinking, all right, well, at least I have Richie on stage with me. Richie knows enough of the songs at this point that we'll be able to, you know what I mean? Like, we can get something off. So I get there, and then I realize it's a Catholic school. So there's a pastor hanging around on the floor, right? So I'm thinking,
there's Jesus.
You damn Skippy. And, dude, and I'm thinking, I'm going to have to edit myself left and right. This is why I remembered it, because of the clean song. I'm thinking, oh, my God, I got to edit myself on the fly, okay? Then what happens, Richie says, oh, I even got dancers. And big up to Cal. Cal's girl at the time was there, and she had, like, another friend or two of hers there. They agreed to actually come on stage and, like, do what a lot of rockers do, have them dance almost at the ends of the stage, except minus the pole. All right. And then, and you know who is witness to this? Big up Chris Mayorana. Chris Mayorana witnessed all of this. All right. And so we start doing the performance. I figured out, okay, I did the original version.
Yeah.
I did Players Day at the time, because Players Day was still new in my head, and all y'all fools had me hyped up on that song because of that verse, my original first verse, which I can't remember now to save my life.
We had you hyped up on it where you can't remember.
Yeah, I know. It was so great. I remember the feeling of being hyped up.
Awesome verse.
But the words escaped me.
Oh, fine. Y'all want to play that shit? Let me see. What the hell was the...
Keep going, man. Keep going. You got the story, man.
Okay.
You got four minutes to the live show.
So I go up on stage. I somehow managed to get through the hump. I feel like a jackass, because the one thing I realized is that this dance is nothing but like fifth and sixth graders. So beyond bugging out that there's adults there old enough, you know, like older. And the fact that there's a pastor hanging around, I'm thinking, oh, great. Then Richie never told me this. He didn't even mention it while I was there until I said, Rich, these are all kids. He's like, oh, I forgot to tell you. I was like, yeah. So now I'm performing at a show with a bunch of like fifth and sixth graders. The boys, for the record, all the boys, you remember how you guys were at that age? You're not dancing. You don't care. Only the girls gave a rat's ass, and only a segment of the girls gave a rat's ass. So Richie sits on the right. We got the Players Day, and
I feel like we're all behind the music.
For real,
we
get the Players Day. I'm already like, I should have picked another song. I should have picked another song.
That's
I should have picked
another.
Yeah, and these who goes low? Like, the first line is who goes low like Jacques Cousteau. All right. That's the first line of the song.
Did you realize that after you said it? Like, oops.
Oh, my God. And, dude, and at the same time, the girls didn't dance. The girls that Cal brought didn't hit the stage until this song hit. Like, I guess.
That's great timing.
I guess Richie.
Let's have a little threesome on stage here for the sixth graders.
So I guess Richie.
Dude, you got to realize, you would not have had. Everyone,
oh, we're going post-show. Don't even matter. But I think Richie cued these girls at that moment to go on stage. So now I got two floodlights at me, okay? I'm on a stage. There's maybe 10 girls who are actually moving to the music and paying attention to what I'm doing. The rest of this place could give a shit. I have every adult ice grilling me, all right? I have the pastor wondering what the hell's going on.
Who is the pedophile on stage?
Easy for the pastor to say, to be honest with you.
You know, you are so lucky that the dude from, like, To Catch a Predator. Fucking, hello,
hey,
Pablo.
What are you doing here?
What are you doing here? you said,
like,
well,
do you like the Doritos? I'm
going to read
the
transcript from the log. It says, who goes low like Jacques Cousteau?
Did you say that to that group of six-year-olds?
Did you happen to be deep-sea diving when you said these lyrics?
All right, wait. We got to go.
Yes, we do, but we got to finish the phone show.
respect my conglomerate.
Stupid. Uh-huh. Damn right.
Oh my God. Okay,
that's
so
a B.
This story
is in the background. We're going to continue on the post show in a little bit. The syndicated show will be getting back in the
post game show is brought to you by. Christ, I can't find it. The hell with it.
All right, so now I got everybody ice grilling me. These two, like 16-year-old girls now. At this point, I was about 17, 18. So I'm doing the song. I'm already freaking out. Richie, for the record, the setup was I was on stage. Richie was on the floor in front of me. So Richie didn't have to be on stage with me. And I love Chris Marana, who was there. He's pumping his fist like it's the best thing in the fucking world. All right. The girls come on stage. They start gyrating.
Nice.
And they start walking towards me, and I literally had to keep walking away from them because I was like, there's no way in hell. No way in hell I'm doing this. Not here.
But you know, 16-year-old girls, they can take advantage of the moment.
To the girls' credit, they were trying to get into the mood, but they definitely do not know how to gauge the situation at hand.
Oh, yeah, dude. I bet you they perfectly gauged that situation. They just knew that it would sort of freak you out.
And I already am thinking in my mind, so I'm doing play today, you know, and I'm doing the song. I'm trying to edit everything. I mean, there had to be, like, I think in the whole song, I think at one point, one whole line, I just completely didn't even say. I didn't even try to, like, freestyle it. It was removed. I didn't even say it. I just kind of did the, yeah. I did a Puffy. Right? Just trying to get through it. Just really trying to get through it. And Richie, for those that know Richie, he every now and then he turns around me with that stupid look on his face like, yeah, you the man. And I'm like, shut up. You're an asshole. And these 10, and also for the record, I'm picturing these 10 girls that are paying attention. I'm thinking they're going to go home and talk about this. I'm like praying no one pay attention. Like, please, even with me editing, you know what I'm trying. You know what I'm getting at. He used to say, Richie wanted me to do, I think, 3 songs, and I walked off at the second. I said, thank you, and I walked off.
You'd be great, Howard Beach, good night.
Pretty much, man.
Sexual chocolate! Sexual chocolate!
And then I just walked. I bounced. I was like, I can't. I said, thanks. I think I stuck around for maybe 10 minutes after that, and I left, dude. I straight up left.
6'6" rapper on stage towering over these 6th graders. Oh my God. Damn.
Oh, it was not a good look, man.
I wish the days of YouTube were around back then, because that would be like, that shit would have been like,
That would have been so with a camera phone.
That, you know, that would have been on YouTube like immediately.
And this is legit. I'm not making none of this up. The one time I didn't really have my crew with me and I got hung out to dry, boy.
But you know what? You got a hell of a story. Because if I were there, we would have left. I would not have gone on stage with you. I would not have fucking done
it. I was actually one of those people yesterday hanging out with them for a barbecue.
Oh, man. Yeah. But it's not the first time we did something stupid like this, because if you recall, we even did a show. Again, Jonathan wasn't present for this one, but I said this wasn't his fault. Sid was present because he was riding with Richie, who was trying to get laid. Where we did a birthday show out in Long Island for a friend. Do you remember that one?
Yes, I do, actually.
Right. And I said, the hell with it. In this case, it was an ex of mine's friend's birthday party, whom Richie was getting with. All right. She wanted me to perform. She said all her girlfriends and all this other stuff. Everybody that was there knew about us. Unfortunately, they refused to show any energy. Okay, they all decided to lay down in lawn chairs.
Where were you? Wrong talking about?
We were out there.
What else did you expect?
All right, so they were into it, but they refused to, like, get up or move or anything. And, I mean, I was trying to get them to get up and dance and stuff, like, pulling them up, like, messing with them. And nobody would budge. And I did, like, 3 songs. Sid, I was thinking, now, I had told Sid prior to this, you son of a bitch, that I was going to be energetic about it. Like, I said, I'm just going to be, they're all into it, I'm just going to be energetic about it. Because those that knew the songs actually sang along with it, which was like, okay, that's kind of cool. but they still did it physically. They didn't show, you know what I mean? Like, physically, they just sat there and watched.
Yeah.
Said, what the fuck am I, Yanni? This is not popping off. And so I showed all this energy. What does Sid do? Sid sat on the speaker and just did, and just every now and then in the mic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, we were horrible bandmates.
Man, you know what? Really? I'm so sorry. You should have told me that before the performance. Years later, I'm going to apologize.
Man, my bad, my bad.
My bad.
Sorry.
I didn't know I was supposed to be there for a show. I'm sorry.
I got
to
be grateful, though. At least we didn't talk about guns and drugs and all that other shit. Thank God.
Because there's nothing to do with them all.
So fake. We would have been fake. It's like, oh, fuck, man.
I got to be grateful, because even with these performances, at least with the exception of the sex talk, at least we had fun with it. That's one thing I don't think we touched on at all.
Okay. How I was looking at the MySpace page and shit like that. Do you realize how lucky we were to even get play back then? We were some dorky-ass motherfuckers.
Dude, that was everybody, though. That was everybody.
No, that was not everybody. Well, everybody who we hung out with, yeah.
Speak for yourselves, guys. I'm the one that's still single, okay?
Oh, sorry.
Oh, man. So, yeah, so that was that performance. But, again, to be fair, when we were on, when we had our game faces on, it was on. Because, like I said, me and Jonathan did the two showcases, and we wound up having the strongest, we wound up having one of the strongest, if not the strongest performances at those showcases.
Damn right.
Like, we really went for broke. You know what I mean? And to be fair, the last performance we ever did, which was at Richie B's house party, the last performance as a group with all of us there, we all went apeshit. We all were sweating that night.
That was hot, man.
You know what I mean? And hopefully, if the board doesn't crash on me, we'll get to play maybe something off of that. But moving forward, keeping it moving. So we did.
I remember that being an angry performance. Like, we were just, like, wowing out, you know?
Yes, you went in. You pushed all your chips in, like, yo, I'm in, kid. It was bananas. It was bananas, son. Oh, man. I'm trying to see what else I got here. I'm looking around to see what else I can whip up before I lose the board. Even though Sid has to explain something here.
Yeah.
Big smelly bitches, get to stepping.
Oh.
Your mama smell
you
like fish.
Like what?
Your mama smell like fish.
Like
your mama smell like fish.
Like Trish.
Your mama smell like fish. Your mama smell like fish.
Like what?
Your mama smell like fish.
Like who?
Your mama smell like fish.
Like Trick?
Your mama ain't the list. I'm talking about the girl.
That was our only Luke-inspired song.
Yes, it was. That was, as a matter of fact, the song on the album, that was from the last album. Like, after we did Bodega Bash, Jonathan went away to college and chilled out. Sid was back for a moment for that summer, and me and Sid wound up, me and Pitchy wound up running with it. And Jonathan was, like, on two tracks on that album, like two or three tracks. And Jonathan did come through, but he wasn't all over the album. And he did one skit. It was, the rest of the album was me and Sid. And I forgot what happened. Sid drew on that beat. And next thing I know, the skit on the album is called the bass skit.
Yeah. I just indirectly aired out somebody on that song, but.
You went at a couple people because you went at two people. You went at a certain female that we were discussing the last time we had Jonathan on the phone, which did not get recorded, and we're not going to discuss again.
Thank God. Go ahead.
And then you added out somebody that I don't know that I was like, all right, whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know who it is. I just realized it. Okay. Sorry.
Oh, man, it was just bananas. But we did that. I mean, I think that was the beginning of the end because, like, we did Bodega. Me and Jonathan did Bodega Bash, and we had fun with it. And at that same time, we had color inserts, which I was, like, really excited about. I was like, yeah, that was dope.
You were stoked about those, man.
I was, dude, at that time. At that time, people don't understand. At that time, that was 96. All right, let me put this out there. At 96, CDs were just beginning. They were still really expensive. Most people still were getting tapes, cassette tapes. And here we are, a nobody group, and I managed to pull enough strings to get color inserts four tapes, and I didn't have to pay for none of it. Like, I skimmed through all the tapes that I managed to move. All the copies of the tapes I got, I never paid for. I managed to hustle it. Like, I knew enough people. Like, I knew somebody that worked. I had a personal friend owe me a favor who in turn had somebody whose job was creating copies, like a copier, like audio and video copier, who owed him a favor. So basically, you know what I mean? Like, it was a cash in for with a cash in. So next day I know I get a bag of, you know what I mean? Then the inserts, I knew somebody who was taking art designs, who was just like, boom, here's all the artwork, here's the photos, here's all the info, hook it up. You know? Mm-hmm. I was like, and I gave everybody credit. I gave everybody due credit. Like, I didn't shaft nobody on it. So just like everybody was down, I guess, to be a part of it. You know what I mean? Just to be a part of it because they knew I wasn't trying to shaft them. And I guess everybody liked me. So I was just like, all right, cool. And I loved that. Like, that was dope. It was like, it was color. The only things that had color, like, even if you remember at the time, even mixtapes didn't have color. Mixtapes at that point were still typed up.
They were they're photocopied, too. Yeah.
We were using innovative technology, color printers.
And nobody gave a damn, bastards.
And AOL was popping back then.
Yes, it was. And we did, so we did that. Thanks.
Nice sound.
So we did that, and me and Jonathan started doing the, at that point we did the showcases, and we got close. We got really close at that point, I like to think. And then he decided that Jonathan said he was going to go to college, and he was going to chill out. And it was like, all right, cool. It was all admissible. It was like, fine. It was like, all right, you know, handle your business. And I was still down to do it because I guess in my head at that time, I was like, we were so close, and I felt like I was getting better. So I was like, I want to keep pushing it, and whoever wants to keep running with me will keep running. And that's where Richie was down. But I want to give props to Richie because Richie really, that was the last album, which appropriately I titled, like, featuring me, because it was me doing pretty much, it was like Jonathan on three tracks, and it was Sid doing the backup. So it was like Skills Roll featuring me. And I figured, since I'm the only one really, and this is not a shot at none of y'all, all right? I just figure, at that point, with the way everybody was going, like I said, you were on it because we recorded while you were home. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, Jonathan decided, I'm out. If you need me, I'll come through, but otherwise, I'm out. It was like, all right, so I'm the one really pushing it, so I'm going to really try to push it. And I'll give credit where credit's due. Richie pretty much produced that whole album. On the same note, Sid does remember this, trying to get Richie to add his own creativity, the album, was like pulling teeth.
Oh, God.
It really was pulling teeth. Like, oh, man. A lot of the songs on the MySpace page, there's one song on there called Getting Worse that I had to run the sample. Me and Sid ran the sampler. And then you had to find the break that I wanted. And then we had to tell Rich what we wanted, you know, how to scratch in the break. It was just a headache. It was a huge headache. That's why we have stupid stuff like that, that Your Mama Smell Like Fish. That was me and Sid really just trying to let off steam. That was Sid saying, I'm just going to throw on this. Richie would be outside like smoking or something, and Sid would be like, yo, I'm going to throw this on. Let's do something.
It's like, why not?
Oh, man. It was just, it was sad to see it when it all finally, like, ended. Like, it ended literally 98. Richie's house party was the end of it.
This is a Behind the Music on Crack right now.
If you're going to go out, you're going to go out on the blast. That's how I think we did it.
Yeah. Which I got it, and I said this before, and I'll say it again. I got to give you thanks for it, particularly Jonathan, because I know Richie again had asked me to perform, and I was like, dude, I'm not. After the debacle, I never trusted him. Again, with any performing live anywhere, you know?
Right.
And he said, nah, it's going to be at my house party. We're going to do it in the backyard. Everybody that's going to be there is people we know. I was like, all right, that's cool. That's fine. So I was like, everybody that's there knows me. They know the group. Chances are they know the songs. You know, let's do this. It's fine. Fuck it. And then I knew Sid was going to be around, so that was cool. I think the big the hard get, this is why I say thanks, was for Jonathan, because I do not believe to this day you wanted to do it. You did it because I was bugging you to do it.
You my boy.
Because you didn't stay. You did not stay. You came through with your then girl, now wife. All right, you came through with her maybe 15 minutes before we actually performed anything. Like, you came through, got a drink. This is not a knock. You didn't really mingle with anybody. Like, you said what's up, but you pretty much, you know, you kept to yourself and you did your own thing, and you only really dealt with people that you knew or you were really comfortable with at that time, which was like, it was me.
Well, I had a good reason. People were, we talked about this last week, but people were,
you know, I just remember, like,
I know who I still have love for, and that's all that matters.
Like, I put it like this, like, when you came through, you were hanging out behind the DJ booth, which was over by the car, like, in Richie's backyard.
Yeah,
he had a,
where all the cool people hang.
So you were by the DJ booth with your girl. I was there helping Richie set up, trying to figure out everything. Sid was there. Who else was there? Our boy Keith,
who
we don't know, but he was a maniac. And when I say maniac, I don't mean crazy. I mean like super uber.
No, I know. You and me go out all the time.
Who else? There was him. He was hanging out there. We had Wall Banger, also known as Weirdo, hanging out back there. We had Old Dirty Man. Jew hanging out there. We had Maz hanging out there. We had Chris Marana. We had our boy Goonie hanging out there. We had the Old Dirty Jew hanging out there, and he was stoned off his ass during it.
Where he fell behind the bush, but that's another story altogether.
You know what I'm saying? And we were all there, and we decided we're going to do three songs. And I remember the first song was something that me and Sid had done, which was Who's in Control, which can also be found on the MySpace with a free download. The second song, which was the My Adidas goof called My Penis, which was the first, now that I think about it, man, that was the first song we did that played on how we started, Jonathan. You know what I'm saying? Like, where we would flip, you know, we would parody. And for those people who want like a little back history on that one, we came up with that song after we did our first showcase. We were walking to the subway station, Jonathan. I don't remember if you remember that. We were so hyped over how good we did at the showcase when the chef came out and the waitstaff, like everybody came out and everybody was singing along and all that stuff, that I started goofing my Adidas, flipping it with my penis. And once again, Jonathan was hyping me up because I was just freestyling. That whole song I freestyled. I came up with it freestyling, and I just happened to have remembered it. So we did that one there, and then we did the huh. Then we went into the huh. And to this day, I love the fact that I had the reaction we got. Like, I don't know, even though it was only, truthfully, it was only maybe 20 of our closest friends. I mean, there was more people at that party, but the ones that immediately surrounded us was probably about 20 of our closest friends. And the fact that they got so into it that they were jumping up and they were doing all kinds of shit.
I remember that. That's the one thing, man. The clear thing is watching everybody jumping, me jumping around and shit like that. That was hot.
That just made it, like, it's one of those things where even though it's not a big, you know, it's not a big win and like that, but that's just a memory that's going to stick with me. As small as it is, it's something that sticks with me, man. That's why I love that live performance. Like, the audio on it is not great. My mic had blown out at that point. And my mic had blown out, we were sweating our asses off. I remember that because I left there drenched.
It was hot.
You know what I mean? And people were already getting drunk and stoned. Jonathan had bounced right afterwards. Like, right after everything was done, he caught his breath, and then he was out.
Yeah.
I was there with somebody. I hung around for maybe a half an hour, then I was out. I think Sid was the only one that hung around, you know, all the way through. But, like, just to remind everybody, you know what? I have the live cut. I've played this before. I'm going to play it again. All right. For those that question me, you're going to hear my mic blown out, but you're going to hear me struggle because I was projecting my voice. So those people who were there live heard my voice clear as day. The recording, it came out, what I want those people who are downloading this show and who've hung on this long, okay, listen out for the chorus. You'll hear Jonathan singing along. You'll hear Sid doing it. You'll hear me doing it. But then you'll hear, if you listen close, you will hear other people in the background. People were yelling the chorus at us. It was just a crazy thing. It was to the point we had three mics, and at that point we just started holding out the mics. Like Jonathan would be singing the chorus, and his mic, me and Sid would hold out the mic to everybody else. And then they would switch. Like, then I would say the chorus, they'd hold out the mics. It's just a bugged, ill feeling. It's a crazy, crazy ill feeling. It was the last time we ever performed live.
Yo, you ready for this, right?
Uh-huh.
This for the fuckers from me.
You
ready? You ready? What?
How do you go for the high?
What? The
what? Shake your butt.
The what?
Check that energy. Check that energy.
The what?
The rocks are making.
Shake your butt.
The what?
Hold it high.
The what?
The rocks are making.
Shake your butt.
What the what?
Hold it high.
The what?
Shake your butt.
Even up the score for the poor,
right
down that door.
I think Sid was doing the Lost Boys move on
it. Created, dudes, we haven't even made it. First down, pay. Yo, hopper, stopper, get on the, let me get on the mic and get my chance. Make you wanna dance right out of your pants. No ifs and rhymes on what we do. Sing it loud,
I'll go ooh.
To the pleasure, how they hold. What the why?
The rocks are making shake your butt.
What the
why? The rocks are making
shake your butt.
What
the why?
The rocks are making
shake your butt. What the
how
they hold? What
the
why? The rocks are making shake your butt. Take it, take it.
The woolly
mansion, the rose on the mission to get that
tracks on
switching. To the knife on the rap master. Take it to my flow, even if you had a chance. Like a rap.
Man, I miss y'all.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't realize that the mix was so off on that.
The mix is really off. It's off on all of it. It was on the last CD. There was a CD that we made at the time. This is when burning was still new. This is when, like, in order to have, like, a computer burner, like a CD burner, you had to have, like, a couple $100 to even buy the burner. And, like, the CDs at the time, forget about it, man. It wasn't spindles. It was like maybe like $40 for like 5 CD. It was retarded. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We only managed to burn. I had to spend a day with our boy Jay, who did us the favor of doing that work for us, because we said this one was going to. Because what happened was we recorded everything. Richie recorded everything on mini discs. Everything. And then he took the mini disc player, and we went one day to Brooklyn to see my boy Jay, who had the burning equipment. And we spent 5 hours, like, transferring everything. You know what I mean? To make, I think we made 8 CDs at the time. We were only able to make 8 CDs. And
he probably, like, burned at 1 speed and shit.
And we literally, I think, and what happened was the only people that got the CDs were the members of the group. And then I think one or two other people got a CD, and then everybody else, I wound up eventually making tapes. I made maybe like 40 or 50 tapes at the time. You know, I mean, that it was a sign that it was over. You know what I'm saying? But it was like, all right, I'm just going to make a couple tapes for whoever wants them, and then I'm going to use this to try to keep the ball rolling for myself, and if I can bring anybody with me, I will, which obviously that didn't happen. You know what I'm saying? But that was it. That was the end of it. For those of that's how it ended.
Oh, the sad music was still playing, right?
I don't have the
damn.
I don't have the Hulk walking away music.
That would be awesome if somebody had it right.
Hey, you want some sad music? All right, let's see. We can hip hop it out.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh my god, I love this song.
That's right. That was the way it was. It was. We had our moment. We were rocking for 23.
You want to put that on pause? I don't know if you're going to get it.
No, let me see. Damn. You straight.
Let me see if you get it.
doing?
You can't hear me, can you?
No, we can't hear nothing.
All right, let me try this. No, it didn't work. I'm playing. Oh, I just found the Incredible Hulk Sad Walking Away song.
Hey, you know what? Before I lose the board, you want me to play an exclusive then? You want me to play something that never got released?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No, but it's not old. It's not old. It's old. They're all old. What am I saying? But it's not old in the sense, this was right after I did the Four Life stuff, and I completely said, I'm never, you know, it's done, you know. But I kept writing, though. I didn't stop writing. Like, I think most of you guys do that. Like, I had a song that I really, there was one song I really wanted everybody to get on called What I Got Into. That's also on that free download at the MySpace thing. But I was, but no, but like, if you really, I love this verse. I'll play you this song. All right, I'm not going to play the whole song. I'm just going to play the first verse. It's called, I know I'm going to get a dirty look from somebody. It was called Let Me Find Out, right? All right, but. What you call it?
I love it. I'm gonna get some.
All right, this was, but this
only two other people on the phone. Dude.
This was me, but this is crazy.
Somebody's gonna give me a dirty look, and I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about.
Good note, but what you call it? Nah, man, it was me saying, you know, I'm gonna try. Like, I had wound up actually, I wound up recording like 4 or 5 tracks, like thinking, okay, I'm going to try to do one more, you know what I'm saying, like just myself, but I only got 4 or 5 in, and then I said, I can't, you know what I'm saying, like I have those tracks, but I got this one, because if anybody wants to hear probably the best I got at that time, all right, instead of all this filliness, this song is unfinished, it has no dub, I think it might have makeshift dubs on it, but it wasn't like finalized or anything like that. All right, hopefully you guys can hear. If you guys can't hear it, I'm going to stop it, and then I'll try to pump it up louder, all right? And you'll recognize the beat, because I love the beat when it hit.
Oh. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Uh-huh. Skills roll with another one, another one. Skills roll with another one, another one. Skills roll. Uh-oh. Drop back 10 yards and get the passing at the height. We're gonna blitz, feel your bones crashing, tracking your movements right on my sensor. When I do it, run right through it, leave your body tender. Send you back where you came from, meet Jamaica. Blah, means all your lame ones, see you later. Record deal I made, one max is laid on till everything's wrecked. You feel a chin chick, smile after this, you'll get the picture. While I spit the shit that's bound to hit, just send shit again. Send a car when I flip a plenty and rip a freestyle that went and killed Kenny. Are you ready? Hitting heavy in at a 9, press rewind. Blow your body with your mind. It's about time to lay the smack down on what you're doing. Can you smell what the crow is cooking? Not looking, but I'm booking all the way to CI. My biatch will kick you in the crotch, still wanna try. Niggas stare like they don't care. Let that linger. My temper flip, I'm throwing chairs like Jerry Springer. Call in the ringer while I do my thing. Buzz his ass yelling, meet I, meet I, meet I, man. God dang, get some way in by the tongue. Go run yelling, we got another one. By the.
Yeah.
Not bad.
I was going in.
I was just about to say that, actually.
Oh, there's a second verse to it. Again, that's available on the free
I
download.
I was really following along there. I'm like, holy shit.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, so there was plans for one more, and it did get started. This song, this epically long song that Jonathan was supposed to be a part of, that kid Jimmy Fingers was supposed to be a part of. I think Sid was supposed to be a part of it. Richie was supposed to be a part of it. Like, everybody was supposed to have little cameo moments. And it was a long-ass story called Look What I Got Into. Took me a year to write it because I got a writer's block because it's one long-ass story, no chorus. And that was recorded without everybody's additional vocals. It was like 3 other songs, man. I was going in. I was really feeling myself at that particular time. If anybody wants any of that, myspace.com/skillsrow. There's a free download, you bitches.
Wow, the showmaster is going to work hard today.
Yeah, but I'm not making any money. It's free.
That's true.
You know what I mean? What happened?
I said, free motherfucker.
I mean, if we want to go and you want some old stuff, here we go.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Come on. Wait. Let's make that a little louder so everybody can hear it. Here is an outtake from Pablo and Nut during the Andrew sessions, just going apeshit.
Fuck it. Come on. That's right.
Yeah, hi, bro. There we go. Look. Here I go, I bomb you like rain. My men are the type of the Kool-Aid. Choice of the boy generation. Oh my God, his pulse is racing. Escalating, he's getting mad hyper. He's blowing up shit just like he was MacGyver. Who's getting
yes,
hyper?
It's a freestyle.
We act like babies, forgive us diapers. Don't you know we flip the shit? Here we go again, yes, I flip the script. And if you just need, I'll diss on your mama. All my niggas say, word is Santa. Don't you know it?
Now, don't ask me why, but we kept recording for like another like 40 seconds.
Show your boobs!
Oh my God, I remember that.
Show us your boobs!
Yeah, that was it. That was it.
You gotta send me everything you have.
Dude, everything's on tape, man. That's only a little bit I managed to get up on the computer. We set up something. I have all the masters.
Yeah, you do, man. That shit has to be online, like, not on MySpace either, because MySpace is
stuff. Well, like I said, the MySpace thing, there's a free link on there just to get, like, the best of. That has Sid on it, Richie on it. I think Kid Slice is on one track, which is that Players Day remix. The Who Goes Low, like Jean Cousteau.
And by the way, where is he?
He passed. Who?
He's dead, right?
Yeah, he passed away.
That's what I thought. Yeah. See, now
remember, yeah. Who Goes Low, like Jean Cousteau, Perverted Rhyme Sayer, Skills Role Player. Hitting skins by the layers and the dozens. No stereotypes. I get the Puerto Ricans down to the Russians. No fussing about how much I pack. Your man's fussing about how he all that. Plus the Mac when you're not getting what you need. And now you're feeding folks from sexual healing.
I remember that fucker.
I
Oh, God.
You know, bitch, fuck up, man. You're a downer. I'm sitting back, I'm like, Charlotte, you know what I just did? I just fucking Googled Life Skills and Benjamin Cardoza. Just to see what
it came up?
Huh?
It actually came up on a Google search?
No, nothing really.
Life Skills will not come up. For those that don't know, Life Skills is where we got the skills from Skills Bro. I'm not even getting into that one. No. But other than that, man, we have been going past 2 hours. So I'm going to kill the podcast version. I'm just going to say, whoever downloaded this and hung on, thank you.
Wow. Yeah, you're better people than I am.
Yeah. I'm not sure what would have been better. It's a waterboarding. But I'd rather go through this.
That's so not nice. You guys.
I love you, man.
You guys suck.
Hey, man. It has said so much worse. He's practically yawned throughout this whole thing. That's it.
Yeah, we gotta be fair. Sid today was not mentally.
What did he say? I didn't hear that.
Sid, you've been yawning through this thing.
No,
I know. Are you not feeling good or something?
I'm not feeling good.
He's got swine flu. Listen.
Chicken soup. No.
Let it rain and clear it out. To be fair, it sounds distant today. He's in there, man, but he's had a long day. My man is exhausted. He's usually, to be fair, I'm usually the one exhausted, and he's the one that's like, you know what I mean, like helping me along. Today's the other way around. So
I'm allowed to have a weak moment.
Yes, this is why.
And by the sound of this whole show, probably about 10 or 20 of them.
All I gotta say is, man, dude. You are a great rapper.
Oh, Sid is great.
You're him. I hope it's him, because I stuck.
No, Pablo was an MC. That's a big difference.
Oh.
I always feel that way.
Oh man, I should have uploaded the freestyle I recorded then.
And you, you know what? You
man, new freestyle. You didn't even know I was playing around with some audio equipment. But who knows? Maybe that'll happen in the future. I ain't saying nothing else.
Oh boy.
You, Pablo, even for shows that I'm not on because I don't. This is not going to be the last time I do this. If you don't mind.
Ew, you're more than welcome. Hell, you could become a regular for all I care.
Yeah, maybe not every week, but like maybe every other week or so. But, dude, I'm telling you, man, you got to have at least one 5 minute, 10 minute section where you put Gil's Rose on. Because we did a lot of shit.
Well, we've done that shit, I'll tell you. We have officially, before trying to hype up this show, because I knew this show was going to happen at some point down the road. Like, me and Sid straight up said, even if it takes like a year, we're going to do. You were key. Not knocking Chalk, not knocking Richie, but you were key because you were there from the beginning. You were there at the beginning, you were there at the end. So it's like...
Yeah, I wasn't much my crazy self, but...
Well, times change. It's 10 years later. It's 10 years since the end. So, you know what I mean? People change. Like, I sincerely doubt I could write something probably as good as I was at the end now. Like, it takes definitely... I definitely have to work it out. You know what I mean?
It's 10 minutes. It's always there, man. I think that if you got it, you got it. It's just a matter of digging it out of the treasure chest, you know?
You know who got up my ass also about that? My boy, Sid's boy, Teeth. Was just like, it's still there.
Yeah, well, the last time I saw you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, Teeth was like, it's still in there. You're going to get out of here. I was like, we'll see what happens.
I think we're gonna do the live show somewhere though. I think we're gonna do the live show soon.
Yeah, we're trying to set up a live show with some of Sid's conglomerate members to get into a hip hop roundtable. So that's something for everybody to keep an eye out on.
You gotta fucking videotape whatever you guys do.
All right, but this is the sick thing for the Blog Talk stuff. There is video capabilities. I just have not used it since we haven't said this for those that don't know or remember. All three of us. Well, me and Sid. Sid's in Queens. I'm upstate. Yeah. All right. And now with Jonathan in the mix, Jonathan's in Florida. So you got all three of us chilling and just bullshitting. But it doesn't make sense to do the video because we're not in the same place. But if we were to do a roundtable and we can get the video popping, the video will be popping as well.
Oh, I definitely think that's going to happen. So, yeah.
It just has to make sense to use the video. Like, I'm sorry. Some of these people out on Blog Talk, I'm going to put y'all on blast. I don't want to see your stupid-ass face looking down at the screen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Kirk Cameron.
Not even looking at the camera. You know, it's just like, why even use it?
I'm talking to you, Willie Ames. Sorry, just
punk.
Well, talk thing.
Charles in charge, punk. Charles in charge.
Yeah, Buddy Lembeck. You don't deserve to be on camera.
You tell him, Sid. Tell him.
All right, man. You know what? Peace out the Blog Talk. That's if they didn't cut us off yet because we excelled. We went past the two-hour mark. So, everybody, if you hung on and you listen, yes, you are hearing the nucleus of Skills Row bullshitting. And as you can tell, not much has changed. Thank you. We'll be back like in another week or so, man. At this point, as you can tell from Sid being so tired, as well as I have been in the past, trying to do this shit every week gets tiring. And we ain't getting paid for a motherfucker. So we'll be back eventually soon.
Fucking freeloaders listening to this show not giving you a dime.
That's what I'm saying. So anybody want to say goodbye or anybody want to say anything special before we out? Any shout-outs? Chat it out.
He's in the middle.
Oh, also, big up to Uncle Ralph. Got to give a big up to Uncle Ralph.
Oh, yeah, he gave you a shout-out twice, right? You happy about that on the online version of BNB, huh?
Yo, I'm going to put it out. I'm gonna pat myself on the back. I got my little Barry Horowitz popping right now. Uncle Ralph McDaniels shouted me out the last two Sundays, and I've been making my man bug out and laugh and talk on the BNB show. So you know what?
Shout out to
Uncle Ralph.
You gotta end their show.
He could have plugged this whole Skills Row show with a shout out, and he didn't do it. He is
fucking Ralph, my boy Ralph McDaniel.
Don't worry, man. We got another show. I'm gonna shout him out. Wait a minute. Hold on. Now. We've been shouting out VMP since we started this thing, so it ain't gonna end.
Sorry,
no, I got to give, and I, you know what I mean, and Uncle Ralph has been shouting me out under my wrestling name, which I'm not mad about, so it's like, it's all good, man. It's all good.
Yo, did you know motherfuckers watched Sci-Fi last night? Did you know what was on the Sci-Fi channel last night?
What?
Fucking Land of the Lost Marathon.
All right, and with that...
That shit was creepy.
And with that, we're going to go say goodbye to Nutchaka, and...
I'm not happy.
People.